going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hi, this is Father Tom Burke of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. This show spotlights the important work of Catholic education in our Catholic schools and parish faith formation programs. Catholic Education Plus is brought to you by the generous supporters of Catholic education, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh in southwestern Pennsylvania.
And this morning, we're covering an important topic on Catholic Education Plus, helping young people stay connected with the church and growing in their faith. Research shows that Catholics who leave the church leave very early. And of those who become unaffiliated, most have left by their early 20s. And we're also seeing a decline in the number of younger Catholics who marry in the church. Yet many young adults are searching for the meaning in life and want to serve others. These are two principles that are at the heart of the Catholic faith. And here in the Church of Pittsburgh, we are finding new ways to keep our younger people involved, including training new leaders. They're the future. My first guest this morning is Jacob Williamson. He is the Director of Young Adult Outreach in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. In our second segment later on this morning, Jacob will be joined by Nick Sharapa. He is the digital media strategist for the diocese, and he will be talking about new ways the church is communicating with the adults. Jacob, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Good morning, Father Tom. Thanks for having me.
Let's first look at the numbers. And according to researcher and author Sherry Waddell, who writes fantastic books, of those Catholics who become unaffiliated, 79% leave the faith by the age of 23. Most said they gradually drifted away. Many just stopped believing in the teachings of the church. What do you think are some of the main reasons for this trend of our young adults losing their faith?
Yeah, the research is not good. In fact, it's kind of bad news, right? The Pew Research firm specifically just put out their religious landscape survey in America, and they have identified that out of millennials, now millennials, it's kind of an amorphous term, kind of trying to like nailing water to the wall sometimes, but millennials can be characterized as people being born between the year 1980 and the year 1996. Out of the millennials, 11% of them are Catholic. And that might seem, oh, okay, that's a little more than I expected, but double that number, 22% are unaffiliated or what we call religious nuns, which is what Sherry Waddell is referencing in her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and not religious nuns who wear the habits, but N-O-N-E-S, who aren't affiliated with anything. And out of the research, it shows that there's some reasons for why these people disaffiliate. Christian Smith, an author, has noted that 71% of people who leave or who unaffiliate from church don't do it for really any reason other than they just gradually drift away. In another 65% of people, they stop believing in the church's teachings. So there isn't any one particular reason why these people drift or unaffiliate. It's just they kind of go away.
So it's not just a Catholic problem. I think it's just a religious problem issue. I mean, it's across the board. All the mainstream churches are struggling with this. This is just not a Catholic problem.
Absolutely. Again, that Pew Research firm survey, 12% of Protestants. So they're in line with the Catholics as well.
And when I talk to other ministers, other denominations, faiths, rabbis, they all say we're all in the same boat, so to speak. You know, it's a struggle to really try to reach out to our youth and our young adults. And I'm 48 years old, so I'm not real old, but I'm not young anymore. And this particular age bracket, these could be my children. And I have nephews that are in their mid-20s, college and high school age right now. So it's a challenge. And I see it with my sisters, just trying to, you know, promote the good morals and values. And my friends who have children now of high school and college age now, they're telling me the same thing. Father Tom, it's tough. So it's not just a Catholic issue. I think it's a cultural issue. Would you agree with that, Jacob?
Oh, 100%. In fact, the Gallup Research, the organization that puts out most of our polls, they have identified some key characteristics of the millennial generation that I think is kind of appropriate for the Catholic Church. If we want to re-engage people who have disaffiliated from the faith, well, what are some strategies that we could do that? And I think it's interesting taking the Gallup information because they're not religiously affiliated. So let's take some hard statistical data and let's view that through a Catholic lens.
Sure. Now, in the past, many younger Catholics who fell away from the practice of their faith in high school and college, they return to the church when they marry and they start families. And I see that a lot. I was a young parochial vicar at St. Paul Cathedral 10, 15 years ago, and I did a lot of weddings, and now I'm doing a lot of baptisms. So I see people say, I remember you when I went to Pitt or Carnegie Mellon or Chatham or Carlo, and I would come to Mass. But now the church weddings are way down, and nationally and locally, from about 3,200 marriages in our diocese in 2000 to fewer than 1,700 in 2015. So how do we keep the people and attract the young people? Because it's tough. We have them in high school, in college. They might fall away for a little bit. Then they return when they get married and they start families. But just the social economic of it, people don't want to get married. They don't want to make that commitment. How do we keep them and attract them, to keep them?
This is my favorite question. Yeah. So again, referencing that Pew Research firm, 71% people just kind of gradually drift away. I think we have to ask the question, well, why do people stay? Why are people Catholic? And there's only one answer. There's only one good answer, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. Right?
Yeah.
And to put it succinctly, it's discipleship. How do we keep people in the church, or how do we attract people back to the church, or how do we attract people to the church who might have never heard the good news? It's preaching the kerygma, the Jesus Christ. He died for you. He lives with you. He wants to accompany you through your life. These sufferings that we all have, he wants to free you from them. He wants to draw you into his divine life with his Father in the Holy Spirit. You know, we look at four pivotal moments of Christ's life. You know, the moments of when he says, come and see, follow me, abide in me, and then go. We can look at those four pivotal moments of Christ's life, and we can say, here's a strategy. Here's a way that we can keep people in the faith or draw them closer to Christ himself. And it's by encountering them. It's by having real conversation, authentic friendship with people. And it's by encountering them that we can begin to accompany them. You know, Pope Francis talks a lot about this message of accompaniment, of asking the real hard questions, but deeply listening, going to the fringes of society. And what are the real human needs? And if we can identify the real human needs, we can minister to those needs, and we can have those people bump into Jesus. And after we accompany someone, we can draw them into the life of the community of the church, which draws people into the community of the life of God. And finally, as Christ said, go, he sent them. Well, so do we. And I think that's really beautiful. At the end of Mass, the priest or the deacon always says, go. And it's not just to get out, right? Get out of church, but it's to go make disciples. In fact, isn't that the command of our Lord, to go encounter other people, to accompany them, to draw them into the community of his life?
That's true. And just when Jesus was calling his apostles, you know, come and follow me, drop your nets. And they did. They followed him, or they hear his voice. Come. He gives them that personal invitation. You know, Peter and Andrew, come and follow me. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and they did. So the younger people are searching for meaning in their life. They're searching for happiness. Yeah, there's a lot of distractions out there. There's a lot of peer pressure. So if we as the church, and that not just priests or deacons, but the lay people too, just to engage with the adults, get them to say, hey, we care about you, and there's more to life than just the glamour of Hollywood or making money and climbing up that corporate ladder, then hopefully then they'll see what's really important.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you mentioned the purpose of life. So I referenced Gallup earlier, mm-hmm. that they've done some research around millennials, who are young adults, and they've identified some key characteristics of who millennials are. And young adults have this deep need to search, this intense identity exploration. In particular, millennials, looking at the job, like the workforce and things, millennials really aren't just concerned about a paycheck in their job, but they're really concerned about purpose. They want to be able to see the work that they're about having deep meaning in their life. And looking at it from that perspective, well, who has the meaning of life, right? God, Jesus Christ, and it's by manifestation of the church that we have an up on every other organization in the world. That you're searching for meaning, you're looking for purpose in your life. Well, we have the answer for you.
It's right there, right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we say young adults, we might think of one profile, but they're a diverse group. Let's talk a little bit about how they're different and why it matters to ministering them. Because this isn't like the baby boomers or Generation X. This is a different breed of people.
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when people think about young adult ministry, they think, well, let's get people in their 20s and 30s together and we'll consider that ministry. It's kind of like youth group 2.0, where we just get a bunch of high schoolers together. And nothing could be further from the truth. Myself, I'm 31, and we could get 10 31-year-olds together, and yet their life experiences would be vastly different. One person could be married. One person could be married with children. One person could be widowed. One person could be divorced. One person could have their master's degree, another their doctorate. And you can see where I'm going with this, just a variety of life experiences. And that's not to mention where they are in their faith journey. They might be deeply committed to our Lord, or they may have never heard of him. So all of these circumstances present situations that the church can accompany young adults. Again, I want to use that word accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And so rather than, conventional wisdom would say, well, let's cast a large net and let's see how many young adults we can get. The question really is, no, let's try and be laser focused. What are the particular ways and means that we can reach a select group of young adults, and let's minister there first, and we'll see some real results.
So it's kind of like going to a buffet table. Instead of grabbing everything and putting everything on the tray, focus on one particular area first.
You got to be laser focused
and really focus your attention on that, cultivate that. You're not going to fix everything in one day. So people who think that they can, just grasp everyone, like you said, cast the net and see how much you catch, really go in small numbers, but then that small number can have a ripple effect and moving forward.
100%.
Yeah. And so these young adults, they're not bad people. And people think, oh, the young generation, we're doom and gloom. But I really think they really have a heart and goal. We'll take a break and we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the administrator of the Catholic community of the East End of Pittsburgh, which is the parishes of St. Bede and Point Breeze, St. Charles Lwanga in the East End, and St. James in Wilkinsburg. In this morning's program, we are focusing on helping young people stay connected with the church and growing with their faith. In our first segment, we heard from Jacob Williamson, who is the director of Young Adult Outreach in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And for our second segment, Jacob is joined by Nick Sharapa, who is the digital media strategist for the diocese. And Nick also has a brother, Anthony Sharapa. Father Anthony Sharapa is a priest. And Nick will now talk a little bit about new ways the church is communicating with the young adults. So, Nick, welcome aboard to the second segment of Catholic Education Plus.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Now, you're the digital media strategist for the diocese. So you're the techie guy, right? So the diocese created your position a few years ago, which I think was a fantastic move. Definitely need that. Recognizing the new ways that we communicate, smartphones and social media. I carry my iPhone in my pocket everywhere I go. Can you briefly tell our listeners what your job involves as the techie digital media strategist?
Sure. When I first sat down with Bishop Zubik after I was hired, he said, if there's any way that I can communicate to my people, I'm open to it. And that's why I hired you. Mm. So the mission of communications in the Diocese of Pittsburgh is to connect the people of God to the church. And what do you think when you think digital? Anything on a phone, anything on a digital billboard, anything video, anything that's frankly not analog, like the newspaper or a bulletin, all lies underneath my responsibility. So in year one, it was a lot of working with diocesan communications, starting a new diopit.org. And year two is really exciting because I get to be out at the parishes assisting people in best practice for all things digital media. So it's a really thrilling job.
And I know I've been a priest for 17 years, mm-hmm. and I can remember when I was a seminarian at St. Vincent's in La Trobe, I got my first cell phone when I was in maybe second theology. I never had a cell phone when I was at St. Paul Seminary in Crafton or going to Duquesne. And even in my earlier college years when I was at Clarion University, we had one computer lab. We had to go physically to the building to check email. We didn't have any computers or cell phones in the dorm. So it has dramatically changed just over since I've been out of college 30 years and being a priest for 17 years. So the landscape has changed dramatically for young adults, how they communicate and connect with others. All of us were bombarded, of course, with messages, advertising, news, social media, text. How can the church cut through all this noise so that we can share the good news, to be a good beacon of good news to the
right.
people?
Well, I think of Sunday Mass as this nice little retreat, you know, once a week or even in daily Mass more often, where you can get away from the hustle and bustle of the everyday, you know, madness that we're bombarded with. Well, with social media, we need that presence also. So the answer simply is, we have to be present. We have to bring the church into media. We should be here. We belong here. So what I'd love to see is more content. In a world with digital media, content is king. Jesus Christ is king. But content is so, so important, right? I want to see more podcasts. I want to see more videos. I want to see more beautiful graphic design. And so you look at media and everyone's doing it really, really well. Well, you know, the Catholic Church does so much so well. You think architecture, we do so well, our philosophy, theology. But what about media? Mm-hmm. We need to be just as beautiful with our digital efforts as, you know, personal encounters are.
So how can we build and plug into these online communities for the young adults to engage them in the church and the person to help them grow? Because there's so much out there. How can we help them build and plug into that?
Sure. I think that, one, to be present is very, very important. And as you mentioned earlier, like everyone is on their phone. So look at the average person on their phone. What are they doing? They're scrolling. I don't know about you, but sometimes late at night, I'll be scrolling on my phone. And what am I doing? I'm searching for something. Mm-hmm. And so if I was scrolling on, you know, Facebook or Twitter, and I saw a video of Father so-and-so talking about the gospel, maybe that grabs me that night. Do I think digital media is going to be the thing that converts hearts and souls? No, but is it the thing that warms the waters for a personal encounter? Absolutely. And I think that's how we have to approach it. It's not the end all. I mean, there's nothing that's going to beat the experience of encountering the Lord through someone or through liturgy. But it could be the thing that warms up someone's heart so that they would accept an invitation to go to a young adult event or accepts the invitation to go to Mass.
Yeah, so it's just by trying to reach them, find out what they're searching for, so to speak, and gravitate to them to help them find that. And Jacob, I want to come back to you. We were talking in the first segment about trying to reach to the millennials and the young adults. And you launched a new program to train the young adult ministers called Cultivate, which began last month with the retreat. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yeah, Cultivate is a comprehensive training experience that has engaged or is engaging young adult learners. It provides real-time, relevant information through all sorts of presentations, experiential learning, collaboration discussions, storytelling. It kicked off last month with a weekend retreat with 12 participants, and will continue with 6 months of community of practice. And the idea behind it is to give these folks the fundamental theology as well as the basic competencies to do ministry for people in their 20s and 30s. And digital media is a huge component of it. In fact, we have an entire session set apart in a few months to give these 12 participants the ways and the means on how to engage those in their 20s and 30s on the digital sphere.
That's great. So it kind of helps to kind of catch them and find out what they're searching for.
Exactly.
And Nick, the Catholic communications expert, Scott Landry, he wrote a book a few years ago called Transforming Parish Communications, which he described how we can better use today's technology to take the gospel and to reach them to everyone. How is the Diocese of Pittsburgh helping the parishes to start with the new websites for all the 57 groupings?
Sure. So sometimes the story of the Catholic Church website is that we had a volunteer doing the website, and then they left for Colorado, and we don't know how to access it, and it's out of date. What we're doing is giving each new parish grouping a home base, a website, where we can direct all traffic to. Social media directs traffic to what? Home base, the website. So we went with this company called eCatholic that makes beautiful websites. First and foremost, if you're not attracted to what you're looking at in a website, you're probably not going to, you know, go to that parish, right? So they make beautiful websites, and it's so easy that anyone can use it. So I always tell people at parishes, don't be afraid of media. And these websites are so easy to use and easy to navigate to find the content that you're looking for that we couldn't, you know, do anything but go with them. It's easy to operate and that sort of thing. So it's exciting to see how a stronger digital presence on the web will affect how we evangelize.
And I'm a product of eCatholic. I am very, as one of the administrators with the 57 groupings, the Catholic Community of the East End, we merged all of our three websites, our three former parishes or current parishes, into one website. So if you Google St. Bede or St. Charles the Longer or St. James Wilkinsburg, you'll go into our one joint, and it's really user friendly. My web designer is very pleased with it. It's very user friendly, and I think kudos for eCatholic. Briefly, can we just talk a little about how people can reach you if they need to?
Absolutely, and I'd encourage it. You can always go to dialpit.org, go to the communications section, and look for Nick Sharapa. All my contact information is there.
And how about you, Jacob?
You can reach me via email, jwilliamson@dialpit.org. And if anyone would be interested in signing up for a young adult event, it's dialpit.org/subscribe.
So look at the DioPit website, and we'll find both of you gentlemen. Nick Sharapa, Jacob Williamson, thank you this morning for being with us on Catholic Education Plus.
Absolutely. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we're featuring a high school silent retreat. This is coming up next Saturday and Sunday, so you still have some time. All those high school men who are currently in high school, next Saturday, February 9th and Sunday, February 10th, there's going to be a nice high school silent retreat. It will be held over in Westview at the Martina Spiritual Renewal Center. That's right off of 279 at the Perrysville exit. There's no cost for the event. But if you want to visit pittsburghpriest.com, that's pghpriest.com, and you can register for that wonderful silent retreat. Just a little overnight, nice little quiet overnight away from all the hustle and bustle. If you're in high school, a lot of stress going on, or just trying to figure out what I want to do after I graduate or prepare for college. All high school men, there's going to be a silent retreat next Saturday, February 9th and 10th. and will be held at the Martina Spiritual Renewal Center right there in Westview. There's no cost. Visit PittsburghPriest, PGHPriest.com, and Father Mike Ackerman will get you registered. We'll see you there at the retreat next weekend.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks again to our supporters, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I'm Father Tom Burke. Join us again in 2 weeks at 6:30 right here on KDKA Radio.